Oh, that's a good art.
Emma Fitz is an Ōtautahi-based interdisciplinary artist working amongst sculpture, photography and textile installation, drawing from an expanded painting practice in which the canvas is reimagined as an active material in itself, creating its own imagery and form while also behaving as its own support structure, resulting in these immersive material-rich spaces that contemplate architecture, textiles, queer history, feminism and memory. In her current exhibition on at Melanie Roger Gallery, Emerald Pools, Fitz explores the notions of memory through the revisitation of a work first exhibited in the courtyard at Object Space in 2022 as Lapping at Your Door, and later reconfigured for the installation of The Air Like a Stone presented at the Physics Room in 2023. The work then undertook another reconfiguration and is now back here in Tamaki at Melanie Roger Gallery presented as Emerald Pools. Through each of its reconfigurations, the work has built up this rich history, holding residue of its past lives and allowing the work's memories of reconfiguration, weather exposure and reinstallation to become embedded within the work itself. Alongside the memory of the work's various iterations, the work also holds the history of its own making process at its forefront, with Fitz purposefully exposing the work's methods of construction, open raw seams and canvas folds, shifting the viewer's attention to not only the work itself, but also the wider histories a work might hold. The show becomes a site multiplicity, holding the work's accumulative history of its prior context, configurations, and surrounding dialogues. I caught up with Emma about the show and her overall practice.
My name's Emma Fitz. I'm an artist currently based in Ōtautahi, Christchurch, and I'm currently up here in Tamaki after having installed and just opened last night a new exhibition, Emerald Pools, at Melanie Roger Gallery. Yeah, my practice stems from a kind of painting background and then great interest in textiles and feminist histories and overlooked historical figures as well, and architecture. So those are all things that sort of get entwined into, yeah, an installation type practice, I guess.
Yeah, beautiful. And as you mentioned, your current exhibition at Melanie Roger Gallery, Emerald Pools, presents the revisitation of a body of work first presented in the courtyard at Object Space in 2022, titled Lapping at Your Door. It was then later reconfigured through the presentation of The Air Like a Stone at the Physics Room in 2023. I'd like to start off this conversation around Emerald Pools by speaking a bit to the work's histories and its initial points of orientation. What was the premise for the first iteration of this work at Object Space?
That was a courtyard plinth project. So Object Space, I think it's every year, puts out a call for proposals from artists who want to do an installation on their courtyard plinth. So it's an outside space. Mm. I put a proposal in for that and was really interested in making something there that sort of worked with the amazing architecture of the gallery, and the Object Space is interested in architecture and craft and objects. So I was trying to think of something tying in with those ideas. And I was looking a lot to the work of Eileen Gray at the time and her house that she'd designed called E1027 in south of France, and in particular these awning structures that she had outside the house. So I was taking some cues from those and decided to make this sort of awning structure of my own, which is made out of coloured and dyed canvas in a shape that kind of created a little holding space, I guess, outside of the gallery. I wanted to make a space where possibly people could come inside under, come within the courtyard plinth and hang out, or just have this moment where they could, that was both sort of public and private.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so kind of making this intimate space in that kind of outside, but also very architectural. It kind of hovers quite between a lot of spaces.
I really like that about Eileen Gray's work. Like in her interior designs, she's often she uses lots of curves and thinks about places of moments of intimacy, I guess, so where you can create smaller, what do I mean, like she uses lots of walls that don't go right up to the ceiling, or there'll be places where you can kind of have like a closer moment, I guess. But then it doesn't feel claustrophobic either because you can see above that, like see over that wall that doesn't go right up to the ceiling. Or I like a lot of her designs, she's really conscious of the exit, which I quite like. So you can always see a way out, even though wherever you are, you feel, as private as well. So, I was sort of thinking about that with that courtyard plinth. That I created a curve that went around two sides of the plinth, but not right to the end. So there was, you could just pop in that way, or you could also pop out the other side as well. And the canvas that I used was, you couldn't see through it, but it was kind of like luminous, I guess. So it, and the colour radiated, so it wasn't, it wasn't like a dead space in a way. Yeah, you create a very intimate space. That's hard to describe without any pictures, but
And how did the work then reconfigure through the presentation of the air like a stone at the physics room?
That happened through conversations with Abby Kunain, who was the director of the physics room at the time, and Abby had written a text for me and for Object Space with the work Lapping at Your Door at Object Space. So there'd already been this kind of like dialogue, I guess, with that work. And then Abby was curating a show at the physics room and asked about doing this reconfiguration of those canvas works. We were both interested in them because they'd been through this weathering process. Mm-hmm. Interested to see what it would be like to reconfigure and represent those canvases. But the way, because they had been, I think it was about a year that they were up at Object Space. Yeah. And so that was part of the initial idea as well. I was like interested to see how the canvases would fade or be affected by, the cityscape. There's lots of building happening around Object Space at that time. A new building was popping up over the road. So lots of dust and building debris kind of being sort of filtered over onto the work. Though over that year, there was a lot of rain. So the canvases had a bit of mildew on them. So a couple of times had to, flew up and was wiping down and cleaning the canvases by, using a diluted bleach solution. So, trying to stop the mildew encroaching. And, I really liked it's a sort of patina that the canvases got over that year and wanted to, show that, I guess. And it's also not often that you get to work in that way. Or I feel like with making art, there's often this pressure to make, and you're working towards a deadline pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, oh, this is really amazing that this is a work that has a different engagement with time, and one that I really like and I'm really interested in.
Yeah, often you make works for shows and then they're then sold, and it's that life of that artwork isn't necessarily shown for the wider public. It's more it's now in the life of the person or the space that then has it, and it's don't see that all the different kind of spaces it's within, all its histories and connections that it has over its course.
It's suddenly gone, or it's out of your hands and control.
And now we see the work currently showing at Melanie Roger Gallery here in Tamaki. How have you approached the revisitation and configuration of the works this time round? Has the specific space of the gallery and its context here reshaped and shifted the work?
Changed again. When it was at the physics room, it was in the front gallery. It was in the window space there. It was where the reading room or library was, and we shifted that out of there, and because we wanted to have the work engage with the windows. And it was about at a similar time, actually, we were closer to Matariki when it was shown in Christchurch. So when the light is, the days are shorter, so the light is low, so we're wanting the sun and kind of moon to pass over the work in that window space. And this time that interaction with light has been interesting again. It's the work is It's really long in this configuration. It's like 6 or 7 meters.
Yeah.
And I really wanted it to be in one line. So that, in a way, was an easy decision for placement because there's only two walls that are long enough to show the work like that. But Melanie's gallery has some windows that are quite high. And yesterday I was noticing how the light passes over the work and then actually onto the end wall where there is nothing, but the diffusion of light on that white wall is really nice as well. It sort of, softens and fades and makes a nice reflection that then makes you look at the subtleties of colour and shades in the work as well. So, for Melanie's gallery, it was more about, placing the work kind of high, so the work starts to then activate the whole space. Just little decisions like that, I guess.
Yeah, the work itself holds such a rich history, holding the residue of those past lives that you were just talking about, allowing the memories of reconfiguration and weather exposure and reinstallation to become embedded within the work itself, along with these visible methods of storage and construction being held within the work through the prominent seams and folds of the fabric. Can you speak a little bit to this idea of the work holding this accumulative history and memory within its surface, and why that's important for you personally and also the work itself?
Yeah, I think I have it probably comes from just this real interest in textiles and clothing, I guess, and wanting to draw people's attention to a kind of textile and tactile knowledge that I think we all have and know a lot about. I love the history of textiles. I think textiles are an amazing material that speak about time in an interesting way. Like they are, textile is one of the first things that has been around humans, and probably one of the first processes that we were involved with. So I like that when we're holding a textile, they speak of this incredibly long history of humankind, and then they're also incredibly contemporary. We always need textiles, clothing, and textiles in itself speaks to crosses time really beautifully. I like the way with textiles and with fabric that both the method, so its construction and its form, are simultaneous in a way. So when you're making a textile, or when a textile is made, you're crossing the threads, the warp and the weft, and weaving. You're both making its form and its surface at the same time. It's all the interconnectedness, I guess, of a textile that is, form and structure and surface, I like. And then the way that that time from 2022 and 2023 has been embedded in these works in a similar, well, not in a similar way, but is now embedded in the works too, through my painting colour onto the canvases, and then an erasure as well through my cleaning them, or them being weathered and sun damaged, or cleaned, plus extra things being put on top of them like debris or mold. Or I like the messiness of that. And I also think something about them not being clean too, and that being shown in the gallery, I really am enjoying. I feel we're not exposed to that much griminess, obviously, in the gallery or just in life, kind of at the moment. So it's quite nice to get people up close to this kind of mildew in a way, even though it's very subtle, but we'll see the beauty in that. It's not a clean, glossy surface. It's yeah, it's weathered, it's dirty, but it's rich, you know?
Yeah, because often in gallery spaces we see this kind of, I don't know, like more like pristine finished version of a product, and we don't see all of those kind of messy iterations, unfinishedness of all the stuff that leads up to that final surface and presentation of a work.
Yeah.
So by you kind of pulling all of these things into focus, all that residue, all those kind of marks to be like, to make people kind of ponder and think about that
yeah.
a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been nice thinking about that. And also I play with that a little bit too in the construction of it. So sometimes, in Emerald Pools at Melanie Roger Gallery, I have deconstructed the canvases slightly too. So where they were folded at Object Space, they're now lying flat at Melanie Roger. So the back becomes the front too. And then often I'll, rather than hiding a seam as you would in a regular garment, I'll put the seam forward. trying to hide things trying to make present things that are often hidden, trying to not do that. But yeah, I think you have to like be conscious about showing those things or not making things too clean and tidy, because I feel like that's often it's what we're taught, or like so consciously not doing that.
Yeah, and you use these somewhat conventional painting materials of canvas and paint, but through your altered approach and application, they shift into something more sculptural and architectural, shifting the canvas beneath the painted surface into this playful, embodied experimentation. Can you speak a bit to your approach and kind of almost like reconfiguration of a typical painting itself and the materials used within that?
I use flash paint, which is like a vinyl base paint. It's really highly pigmented, and I like it because it's you can water it down, which is what I do, and I'll do lots and lots of washes over the canvas with it, and it's very flexible. It's a paint that I think can be used in sign writing, and it's waterproof, it's very durable, and you can be quite, well, I guess all paint, but the way I use it is I really either let it like really soak into the canvas, or I really rub it in, and you don't need to prime your canvas. It's one of the things I love about it. So there's no, to me conceptually, I see that my using that paint is like becomes, it seeps into the canvas, so it's not on top of it. And I guess that leads into those ideas I was talking about before of weaving and textiles, enjoying that because everything is like interconnected and working together. And I think even when I was painting at art school, I was never really wanting to paint a picture on the canvas. I was folding the canvas or scrunching it or pressing it, trying to get the canvas to create its own image and also its own support structure. Even though I am using paint, I feel like I'm trying to use it in a way that sits with that idea.
So it's no longer that kind of, here's the canvas and here's the paint. It's kind of they meld into each other and kind of become one and almost function as one in some capacity.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I hope so. Yeah.
And through your making process, do you often like pre-plan a lot, or is it more intuitive letting like that experimentation and responding to the works as you're making it?
Yeah, I think it's quite intuitive. Well, that Object Space work was a different kind of work for me. I guess there was a design problem in a way with that installation, so that I knew that the size and I had a structure for where the canvas had to go. So there was that restriction. But then for the colour and the construction techniques that I'm using within that, that's sort of a mixture. Like I'll have, perhaps a bit of an idea, but then it's very much, going, I don't know, it sounds cheesy, going with the flow, but it's like, working a bit more intuitively. Yeah.
And you previously mentioned these references to historical women. Do you want to speak a little bit to more how those references play into the making of the work?
Yeah, I am always like looking around for inspirational figures, I guess, and people who are living or have lived lives in ways that I find inspiring or like want to know more about. Yeah, I think as artists, it's, yeah, we approach life a little differently, or it's like hard to, well, not hard, but it's, yeah, I like having, yeah, seeing, I think it's quite hard, has been in the past, like hard to, there's like mystery around the artist too. And then I was just always curious about like, yeah, but how did they really do it? Like what were the artists like, relationships like, or I don't know, just wanting to know more of the nitty-gritty of how these people lived. So I think probably in like when I did the Olivia Spencer Bower residency in 2014, like back then, just started, I wanted to know more about the life of Olivia Spencer Bower. I was sort of disappointed by the like lack of information on her life, or so I just started researching her and talking to people that knew her because people were still alive at the time. And through that process, like, I guess the stories got a little messy as well. Like when you start talking to people, you get conflicting stories. And then I just decided to draw into that project other people that I'd been looking at as well, to kind of create this imaginative dialogue between Olivia and these other women. But yeah, they're often women, often queer women, or people that I just feel have been underrepresented in history. My projects used to be more direct at particular people, and now that I feel a bit more, or have been doing it for longer, I guess, I feel like the figures that I look at, they're not so at the forefront of the project, but there's always people floating around.
Yeah, it's almost like an approach to them. Like you can never fully maybe understand everything, but it's this approach and this leaning towards in hopes of some kind of dialogue or conversation by bringing these different voices somewhat into that room together.
Yeah.
In some way.
Yeah, I think so. I think the imagination is such an amazing research tool. You know, that's how you make progress, is like by imagining new situations or I guess I like thinking about possible conversations or when you use imagination like that as a research tool, you can cross time as well, like you can create conversations between different centuries and different disciplines like science and art or design or literature. And yeah, I find that really fun. And there's a companionship, I guess, too, in that, because it can be, you know, it's isolating also being an artist and doing your own weird like research. I did used to collaborate with actual people in the past, but have done that less and less. And I think, yeah, this way of looking to these historical figures or as a kind of desire to continue to collaborate, but in a way that, I'm very present in as well. Yeah.
That was Emma Fitz speaking to me about Emerald Pools, which is currently on at Melanie Rodger Gallery until the 27th of June.